Welcome to this computerweekly.com podcast, and today we're going to be talking about storage issues during the impacts created by the coronavirus crisis. With me today I have Alex McMullen, who is CTO International with Pure Storage, and today we're going to be talking about the effects on storage infrastructure for organisations for which remote working has suddenly become a very important topic. The first question I'm going to ask you today, Alex, is what are the impacts on storage of a rapid scaling up of remote working, the type of which we're finding at the moment during this COVID-19 crisis?
Great. Well, thank you for having me on, and hopefully we'll just give you some thoughts and feedback from how Pure thinks of these things. So in regards to storage impacts, I think there are some obvious challenges we've already been dealing with, but there are also some which are perhaps a little further down the line we need to think about. So if you think about storage scaling up to support everyone working at home, working remotely, I think that's fairly obvious in terms of what that means. It puts more pressure on all of the traditional infrastructure, so things like the VDI side of things, the broker, but also if you think about how that impacts particularly in larger infrastructures, there's a consequential demand for everybody who's impacted with, let's call it software-defined networking or network function virtualization. That's an additional load that goes onto infrastructure such as firewalls or into WAN connections or into VPN structures or into just, you know, basic data protection that comes with that. So it's not just the VDI impact, it's everyone else working remotely on the infrastructure that's frankly less well tested and less well used on a normal day-to-day basis. What it also means, obviously, is that we switched very quickly to from a non-to-5 model where everybody went to work at the same time, went home at the same time. But now many of us are parents. We're looking at workload sharing, whether that's looking after the children, homeschooling, whether that's cooking, the shopping, but also those of us who are volunteering with the NHS as well. So we very quickly switched from that 9-to-5 model through 24/7. What that also then means is it brings challenges into other parts of IT because many companies are either in a change freeze or they're accelerating deployments of new infrastructure or expanding capacity or simply doing software updates. And there's a bilateral impact here in that we're seeing more demand for change, but also we're seeing more demand for continuous and always-on services that go with that. And that's also driving a bifurcation in the way that cultures are dealing with that. We're seeing more and more organizations working together more. So traditionally, verticals such as the storage team, but also the network team, the virtualization team, the compute teams have been dealing with their own expansions at different times in different ways. Suddenly, everyone in every business is asking for more of everything at the same time. What that also then drives is the forecast for the second wave, which is obviously the way in which that we're living our lives for the next few weeks. We're seeing more demand on all the traditional online retailing, food delivery, of course, but also the second order consequences of that, which are things like contact centers for our banks, our car insurance, our mobile phone providers. They're all seeing huge uptick. Obviously, video conferencing, they're all driving more and more demand for storage, but also because of the desire to record more of these events for whether it's being turned into a podcast or a webinar or just simply, you know, recording for more wide distribution within companies. Everybody's consuming more and more recording capability in those video conferencing. We see that very clearly in our own customer base. And the final part of that is obviously more and more pressure coming from the e-commerce side. Again, more billing, more online payments, more transactions, but also the second order consequences there in terms of fraud detection and prevention, because the biggest part of the work from home challenge we see, partly a storage problem, partly not, in that everyone using shared infrastructure at home. So not every family has 5 PCs for every member of the family, so they're sharing. So we're using the same infrastructure that our teenage children are using, our 5-year-olds are using, and that's obviously giving, you know, the bad actors here a lot more and a lot wider attack surfaces to play with because of that shared infrastructure on PCs and laptops and tablets. So lots of AV, lots of malware detection, lots of, you know, data loss prevention, lots of intrusion detection happening, not just inside the data center edges, but also outside company peripherals. All of those putting more and more stress on software as we transition to that almost BYOD at home capability. So lots of things to think about there. Broadly, everybody wants more of the same, but they want more and more and more quickly. And I think we'll talk later on in the podcast about ways of addressing, absorbing, and perhaps, you know, solving for the future in some of these trying times.
Thanks, Alex. Yes, certainly lots to think about there. I guess the question is then that this is a broad range of impacts, but what can organizations do to absorb the need to scale up storage capacity during this period? And I guess there's potentially the need to scale back later on at a later date.
So again, good questions. I think we'll answer both of those separately. In regards to the first, what can organizations do to absorb that, scale up, or try and mitigate the curve of that? I think it depends on the size of the organization. There are different things that can be done depending whether you're an enterprise or a small business. If we take the enterprise first, I think, the key thing there is that enterprises today should have a CMDB, an application register, and a BC and DR plan. At this point in time, every business should understand which applications are critical, which are nice to have, and which are effectively if there's nothing else to do. So at this point, if you have two data centers, one for disaster recovery, you should be considering which of those lower criticality applications can be shut down on the primary sites and only run in disaster recovery, i.e. their disaster recovery plan beyond that is a restore from tape backup or archive backup or disk based backup. It's only the highest criticality applications that should maintain that BNC and DR, and they can then start to consume production infrastructure capacity that was currently being used for those lower tier applications. The key part of any strategy that involves this is to communicate effectively to the business owners and the application owners that you're doing that, because it is something they will have to deal with over time. So that's the first thing in terms of reusing what you have today. The second thing is you can ask your users to free up capacity, but my own experience working in some of the biggest banks in the world tells me that you don't get much benefit from that. Everybody deletes, you know, 0.1% of their storage capacity, and you don't really get any benefit from that. It's always worth asking, but again, my own experience has been that you don't get a huge benefit from it. The third part of that, again, for enterprises, is to talk to your cloud providers, talk to your service providers, talk to your managed service providers about utility-based options you can consume from them, whether it's, you know, dollars per gig per month, that kind of utility, or whether it's simply short-term capacity. We're even seeing, again, some customers asking for short-term loans, and that's something that we will look at on a case-by-case basis. So there's three ways there of not just having to make large capital investments, but also to get that on a utility-based basis. And, of course, if you're using AWS or Azure or Google or Rackspace, any of the public cloud or hosting utility providers, you can always do that, although it will depend by region which capacity is available at a given time. If we then switch and think about the smaller businesses who perhaps don't have that same cash flow beneficial pool to draw on that the larger businesses do, I think, again, they can look at talking to managed service providers or the utility providers or the public cloud providers for short-term burst capacity. I think that's viable for them. But again, they should be looking to move lower criticality applications into those use cases and keep what's most important for them on premises. The other thing that comes with that is that we shouldn't also think about this being a short-term thing. I think we'll come back to that in a moment. But what I would say in answer to that for everyone is take the opportunity now to revisit what you've got, what is important, what applications, what data sets are useful to you. And if you do have applications that aren't as business critical, perhaps now is the time to consider retiring those and decommission them in general.
Thanks, Alex. The other part of the question you alluded to there is how might organizations reverse the kind of moves they've made during this period when things go back to normal?
Yes, for sure. I did promise that, didn't I? Okay, so I think the answer there is twofold, partly technical, partly cultural. So let's deal with the technical side of that first. I think in terms of returning to normal, based on what I've seen over the last few weeks, that the way that we work is going to change going forward, full stop. I think there have been some benefits from the rapid innovation cycles and the way that people have been communicating more effectively, that I think we will carry some of that culture going forward, even as we do switch back to the new normal. I think that will end up being somewhere in between the way we used to work and the way that we are currently working. The investments that companies make in utility storage, utility compute, managed service hosting, those can obviously be reversed and terminated when the contract ends, so that's all fine. And you can also then spend time reversing the changes that larger enterprises have made in terms of restoring the business continuity and DR capabilities of the lower criticality applications and bringing them back up to the full recoverability point. The plan then for that next phase, though, is where it gets much more interesting. So I'm not an epidemiologist, I'm not a virologist, but to me as an engineer, it's fairly clear that until we get to a point where sufficient part of the public is vaccinated and we have a good set of testing, that we should expect for further waves, whether they're seasonal, whether they're in 6 months' time, but I think we will be back in that same place again, perhaps further down the road, so that the key thing here is that we carry forward the ability to rapidly innovate, the ability to change quickly and, you know, adopt a similar can-do attitude, if you will, as we have seen from all parts of the community at this point in time, because there will be a next time. I think we'll be a lot better prepared next time too. The key thing is not to forget how we were easily able to adopt and change our postures when we have to. That's for me the key thing to take away in terms of scaling down and the return to normal, Anthony.
Thanks, Alex, and thanks very much for your time today. It's that's all we have time for now, but it certainly is, I mean, although a worrying time, certainly fascinating in terms of the way things are changing for us. That's the end of the podcast. For more on storage and backup, and in particular during this COVID-19 situation, check out computerweekly.com. Thanks again, Alex.
Thank you.